Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour. And it is live tonight. This is December the 30th, 2011. We're counting down to the new year. And the reason we're late starting, they were saying because they figured because of the holiday, maybe there wouldn't be too many people listening tonight. And so we were going to put on another show, and we were trying to find it. And somehow it's missing in the archives. And I said, well, it couldn't have been erased, could it? And they said, no, it's not erased. It's here somewhere. So they were trying to find it. But even if they do now, it's going to be too late because we won't be able to play it in entirety. So tonight, then, I'll find something to talk about here. But if they have call-ins, let's go ahead and do it. The call-in number, if anyone wants to call in and talk, is 1-888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. What I was going to have the show about, and I think we'll play it next week if he... There's a call-in already. I'm pretty sure he's going to find the show, and we'll play it next week then. Okay, go ahead. Who's there?
Okay, this is Nina. Hi, Dolores.
Hi there.
Hi, I was talking to you and before the show, and I had a few more questions that I wanted
okay.
to ask you.
You're live now.
You.
You're on the air.
Yes.
Yeah, these were, this lady was talking to us before we went on because they were looking for this show we were going to play. Yeah, but you're live now, so go ahead if you want to let everybody hear it. You can talk to me.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I haven't read your books yet because I just learned about you. And I'm going to ask you a question. Have you, in your experience, in your 40 years of experience that you have doing regression, have you met someone who was from Jesus Christ time?
Well, I've written two books about it. See, I've got 17 books out there, and they're on everything you could imagine. And last week, they played one of my old shows for Christmas Eve was about the Star of Bethlehem, somebody who witnessed that. But you mean somebody
uh-huh.
who knew Jesus in another life? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yes, all right. The books I've written on that, it's called Jesus and the Essenes, and I've done many shows on here, too, about that, and I've lectured on it for a long time. That book has been out for over 20 years, and it's translated into 20 languages all over the world, and it has to do with a man who was one of the Essenes. The Essenes were the ones that lived at Qumran in Israel, and they
mm-hmm.
were the teachers. They had the mystery school, and it's one of these somebody I had that went back to a lifetime who was one of the Essenes, who was a teacher of Jesus. And he gives the story of Jesus from the beginning of the Star of Bethlehem and his birth all the way through to the crucifixion. And people think it's a classic in the field. Then I wrote another book about Jesus when he was on his ministry, of how he was able to heal and how he worked with people. And that one is called They Walked with Jesus. And both of those books you can get on my website, or you can get them through Amazon because they're very popular.
Okay,
yes, I have found other people, but I haven't written about them that have knew Jesus in another lifetime. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to ask you. I don't feel any special or anything. I just started reading your book, and there was the three volunteers. New World. I just
yeah.
purchased this book, and I was reading the second wave. I am actually 29 year old, and I felt so close to that description that you are talking about. I don't feel anything special. I don't feel I am ET soul, but is there a lot of people that can meet this description?
Oh yes, there
like,
are. You have no idea. We get thousands and thousands of emails. I've had as many as 1,000 emails in one day come in. And they'll say,
mm-hmm.
I identify with this. I know I'm first wave. I know I'm second wave. They said, I thought I was the only one in the world who felt like this, that nobody understands me. They don't understand. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I don't know where home is. They all say the same thing. They say, I thought nobody in the world understood me. And they said, finally, now it makes sense. I know why I'm here. I know what I'm supposed to do. And you don't know how much it makes better it makes me feel to know there are others out there who feel the same way. I get letters all the way from Russia, from all over the world. These people are everywhere. They're just all afraid to say anything because they'll think people won't understand. But that's how I came up with the theory of the three waves, because they're very, very common now. There's hundreds of thousands of volunteers who are now all over the earth, and they're here to do a job. And they're waking up to that fact, too. So I'm not surprised if you're one. Every time I do a lecture, people come up to me afterwards and say, I know I'm first wave. I know I'm second wave.
I mean, I don't feel anything special. I actually feel
They don't either. They just know they don't want to be here.
Yes,
they don't
I feel
like
her. I don't
want to
like
be here.
They
don't like the violence.
I feel like I don't want to have children because I feel this world is too bad for them. I don't want to go and meet people because I'm afraid they're going to hurt me. I feel these kind of things, and I want to help people, but I'm afraid I don't want to create friendships.
But don't forget, whatever you're afraid of, you draw to you. It's all energy. Everything is energy. And if you're afraid of something, you give it energy and you draw it to you. So you don't want to have fear.
Okay.
You don't want to be afraid. Because that'll be the opposite of what you want. But, you know, these different people don't want to be here because they don't understand the way people act. And that's okay. That's normal because everybody doesn't understand what this is all about. But you haven't heard enough of my shows or read enough of my books yet to know I talk about this is a school. And this is the most difficult, challenging planet in the universe to live on and go to the school of Earth. So it's the hardest place to be, but you chose to be here at this time to learn something from it.
Okay, thank you, Dolores. Happy New Year, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
Okay. I hope I answered all your questions, because I was talking to you while we were waiting, too. Okay.
Yes.
Read the books.
Yes,
you'll find
you.
A lot of answers in there.
Okay. Yes, thank
all
you.
All right. Okay, then. Good night. You can go ahead and listen to the rest of the show, then. Okay.
Yes, I will listen to you.
Okay. Now, if there are any more callers, you can come on and come through, because I'm just going to be talking tonight anyway. There's another one. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
How are you doing, Dolores?
Oh, I just got back, 5 months traveling all over the world. I got back just before the holidays. And I'm trying to get back to normal and get over jet lag.
I'm kind of like a little kid. I'm really happy to talk to you because I've just finished reading your Convoluted Universe books. And
Which
they were
one?
Just so amazing, and just the amount of knowledge and work and detail you put in them. It was
which,
just
which
amazing.
Which one are you reading?
Ma'am?
Which book?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Which book are you reading?
I'm reading the Convoluted Universe on book 4 now.
You're on book 4. Okay, because we just got that out of here right after I got back. I wrote that book while I was traveling, and I was trying to do it in hotels and everything. I was under a heavy deadline. I'm interested to know what people think of it because, I don't like working under pressure like that. Do you like the book so far?
Miss Cannon, it is absolutely wonderful. Like, just continuing the saga, and just it's almost like, we're there with you as you uncover this information. And it's just really, I guess, a relief to feel something that's so empowering. I know as I've read, your Convoluted Universe, I haven't gotten to this is the fourth book, so your 13 other books, because I know you've written 17, but
yeah.
I just started with the Convoluted Universe series, and just seeing the amount of information that you've uncovered and how it correlates to even today is just amazing. So I think it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and it's just, I'm on chapter 20, and I'm trying to read about 10 chapters a day, and I'm just loving it. So mind expanding. I'm just enjoying the increase in, I guess the word they use was thought pattern, just different thought patterns, and it's just amazing. So that's what I think of the book.
Well, you know, each book in the Convoluted Universe series gets more and more complicated. And when I wrote the first book, you know, it was a continuation from The Custodians. I don't know if you read that or not. The Custodians is my 25 years of working with the UFOs and ETs. And it began to go away from UFOs into complicated metaphysical theories and concepts. And so I said, I know I'm going to have to write a different book. So I started with The Convoluted Universe. And as I was going to print with it, to press, I said, I'm going to put book one on that because I think it's going to be more to that series. And so, but I didn't think anybody would be able to understand it because it was such a complicated material. I said, it's for those who want their minds bent like pretzels. But after the first one came out, people kept emailing me. They started with it. I thought they had to lead up to it through my other books, but they jumped right in, and they said, even if we don't understand it, it makes us think. And so I said, okay, then I guess they can handle it. And each book is a little more complicated than the other.
One of the things I find very interesting, some of these concepts that you present, such as the concepts of simultaneous time, parallel universes. One of the things that I find is really interesting to me, because I've just, you know, in the last year and a half, really gotten into the past life and just really understanding how the world is working. But some of these concepts you presented, I find it interesting to see that, you know, some of these were presented in cartoons such as, you know, X-Men and just the kids that are, you know, that are coming up. I know you say it in your books a lot, they're the light of the world, but some of these concepts just resonate and it just seems so easy to understand. I mean, I was really, when I listened to your archive, I think the date was on December the 16th, when you said you took 300 pages out of the Convoluted Universe Book 4, I was like, oh no, like I really wanted you to put as much information as you could in there because I think you said it'll be another year before you write another book
into the series.
I was like, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I had to take it out because it was getting too big. It would have been over 900 pages. And my other books, the biggest one was Convoluted 3, was 700. But it was just so much material, I said, I've got to take some out. And so here I have the basis for another book. So, you know, I've been home now for about 3 weeks. I can't just sit around. After I've rested up, the first thing I've got to do is start another book. So I'm using that material that I took out, and I'm working on another book. I'm working on 3 books. I'm never going to get through writing. It's so much material. But I'm really glad that you're enjoying it and you understand it.
But I must say that keep the information coming. We are loving it. It feels good to have information that empowers us, gives, you know, it makes life make sense, you know. This isn't some, oh my God, you're going to be punished. No, you actually chose to come here. You know, you draw the things in your life that you want in there. So make the best of it and enjoy it. And I think,
I think it was a Convoluted Universe book too. Once you figure to understand that you chose the situation to learn something, it makes a big difference. You can't blame anybody else.
So, Dolores, I just want to say thank you. I'm enjoying the book immensely, and just keep it coming. So you have a wonderful, wonderful new year, and I know it's a busy 2012, so thank you so much.
Okay, it's February before I go out of the country again, and I've got to go to China this time. But I'll be working on more books, and there'll probably be another one coming out in 2012. So I'm glad that you're enjoying it anyway. Okay, and thank you. That makes me feel good. Maybe it's worth all the work I put into these books.
Oh, absolutely. You said people not understanding them. No, I'm 24 years old, Dolores, and I've been through so much, and it's just a blessing to just feel so empowered. So thank you. You just have a great, great, great 2012.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Let me get back to one of the things I did want to mention, start off with tonight anyway, and that's why they were looking for this old show. There's another caller. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to mention it or not, but that's okay. Go ahead. Who's there now?
Dolores is here.
Who is it?
Dolores.
Yeah, I'm Dolores. Are you Dolores, too, you mean, or what?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right.
D-E, though.
All right. People are always putting an E in mine, even though it's not there. Mine is
mine,
the Spanish
others
spelling.
Others do the zero on mine.
mine is
but
the Spanish
anyway,
spelling. Okay, but you have a question?
I am familiar with the book that you have just been talking about. I have it. And I discovered you on Coast to Coast, number one.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder why you haven't been back to Coast to Coast. And then
I've been on Coast to Coast twice, and I was on with Art Bell was the host, and there was another one after him. It was a Michael, somebody after Art Bell, and then I've done George Nouri two times.
Yeah, I've heard you every time.
But you see, I can't go on unless they ask me to come on. They have to ask me to come on. But if people call in and ask them to have me back, well, then if they get enough calls, they will have me back. But they said I'm very popular, that everybody likes it when I'm on that show.
Well, I like you. And then I heard, finally found Dee Wallace here just a few months ago.
She was at our conference we have our conference here every year in Arkansas that I put on. In June.
Uh-huh.
We're getting ready. We're going to have our sixth one in 2012. And she was our keynote speaker at the 2011 conference. It's the Transformation Conference we put on here in Arkansas. She's a real ball of fire. She is a firecracker.
Yeah,
After the conference,
and then
she
the
went
other
with me
thing,
and
I,
we lectured.
I just found BBS Radio, and that's how I found you tonight.
Okay, but she was, after the conference, she went with me, and all through the month of July and into August, we lectured all over the United States and up into Canada, and she was with me on all of the lectures doing her thing, so we were working together. Now, in April, we're going to be doing like a two-day event in Hollywood. Where she'll do one day and I'll do one day. So she's really good, and we're publishing some of her books. And I just consider her as a real ball of fire. She's got so much energy.
There hasn't been a call. I went back for a whole year of 2011 and 10 and listened to every one of those programs, so I'm caught up to date. The thing that I wanted to ask you is about the shift. I have been in such pain with all the shifts and the intensity that's being sent physically. That's one thing I just wanted to say. But what I wanted to ask you, because you talk about the surface Earth moving into merging, is that emerging into the inner Earth? Is there anything you can say about that and the shift we're all going through?
I've got to figure out exactly what you mean there, because it's going to be two
steps.
Well,
I think in your book you talked about our Earth, which I call the surface Earth. It's supposed to be connecting and merging with the new Earth, or I'm not
but,
sure
but
how
it's,
I can ask.
It's pulling apart into two Earths.
Oh, okay.
You have the old earth and you'll have the new earth. The
and
inner earth.
And they're merging together now? Is that
well,
part
it's
of the
happening
shift?
Now that we're separating. We're pulling apart from the old earth and we're moving into another dimension of frequency. The inner earth, that is something else because there is whole cities inside of the earth. But that is a different thing. This is the separation between the old earth and the new earth as they break apart. Because the earth is a living being, as you probably know, and it's going to be going into its next incarnation. You know, just like humans do, it is going to go into another incarnation. It's just taking it longer. And that's why its vibration and frequency is changing as it shifts into another dimension. And if we want to go with it, our bodies have to change. The frequency and the vibrations of our bodies have to change in order to resonate with the earth. Now,
is that why we are having, or at least I'm having, a lot of pain during this?
Well, it's
shift.
Not usually pain. It's usually symptoms. And there are many symptoms that have been reported to me, but they only last for a day or so, and then they go away and they're replaced by something else. What kind of pain are you having? What part of the body?
Throughout my whole body, usually. And other things that I've had at different times, that's not so much anymore, but I went through, I get ready to go somewhere, all of a sudden I get this dizzy, spacey feeling, and I can't go anywhere because I can't drive.
Uh-huh.
But I've been going through this for months.
Yeah, it started in 2003, and many people have been reporting it all that time, but it was lessening, I thought. It was kind of people were getting used to it. But it usually just lasts for a day or so.
But anyway, what about the hollow earth now? Is that something different again?
The what?
The hollow, H-O-L-L-O-W, the hollow earth.
Yes, what I said, there are cities down there. It's not really hollow. There are cities underneath the earth, and they've been down there. The people went down there at the fall of Atlantis. There's a whole city. It's got a sun. It's got water. It's got lakes. It's got animals. It's beautiful, and they're more highly advanced than we are. But that is inside of the earth.
And they live thousands of years old, I understand.
Oh, it's been down there since Atlantis. The survivors of Atlantis, some of them went into the hollow earth. The entrances are found underneath the pyramids of the world. They had the entrances to the hollow earth, and the pyramids were built on top of the entrances. This means the one in Egypt, the one in South America, all of the anywhere there's a pyramid, there will be an entrance going down into the hollow earth. But how long have you been having this pain throughout your body?
Quite a few months. It comes and it goes.
See, that's usually what happens. See, your body is adjusting to the frequency and the vibrations that are changing. Your body can't change all at once.
Changes
it would destroy the body, so it has to be gradual and subtle. So these symptoms usually just last for a few days, and then they taper off, and then you get another set of symptoms. But one of the symptoms is dizziness and the feeling of disorientation. That is one, but usually it'll pass in a day or two. Other symptoms people have reported have been high blood pressure and heart palpitations, you know, irregular heartbeat.
I don't have that, but I have had hypothyroid, and a month ago, I think it's been, I reverted to hyper.
You went the opposite
direction.
Well, I don't
know where
direction.
I am, hyper or hypo now.
Okay. Well, you know, in my work, that's what I deal with is people's physical symptoms. And that's mostly what I do in my therapy work now. And I'm teaching my classes all over the world on how to heal these things instantaneously. But anything to do with that area of the body, the throat, means you're not speaking out about something. You're holding back and not talking about something you're supposed to be talking about.
Well, I figure that is true, but I haven't discovered what that is.
Well, you need to think about it, because it's something in
your
life, apparently.
Keep asking the question, because I live in questions these days.
Oh, yes, but that's good. You're beginning to ask questions. Some people don't. They just go along with everything, and they don't even stop to ask questions. It's good to ask questions.
I live in questions these days because of everything that's been happening.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How can I get on your email? See, I don't even have that information, how I could even get in touch with you.
On the emails? Okay, but remember, I get thousands of emails. I read them, but I really don't have time to answer them all. Some people write me one, and then a week later they'll say, write another one, why didn't you answer my email? They don't understand.
Yeah, I can
it's
understand
literally impossible.
That.
But you can contact
right.
me. But don't be upset if I can't answer you right back. But
right,
one way is to go on our website. We have two websites. One is the publishing company, and one is under my name. And if you just type in www.DoloresCannon.com,
mm-hmm.
it's all one word, DoloresCannon.com. It'll come up to my website. And you can contact me through there.
Okay.
The other way is through the publishing company, but either one will get to me if you want to email a letter.
Oh, okay.
But one thing to understand is everything that's happening to everybody right now is natural. You don't want to be afraid of anything. Because, you know, fear creates more. It draws to you things you're afraid of. You don't want to do that.
I understand that, yes.
Try to understand what's happening and just go with it, and it'll all smooth out. It won't be much longer, and it'll all smooth out, and everything will be really fine. You'll see a big difference.
Yeah. Are you aware of Meg Benedicte?
Meg?
Benedicte. Okay,
The name is not familiar.
Oh, because I know Dee Wallace, I think has mentioned her before.
Okay, well, she might be a friend of hers.
But she gives clearings. She has started that, well, for years.
Yeah.
But 11/11, just before 11/11, I found her.
Okay.
And she's helping us all move into our 5D dimension.
Well, that's
above.
What this new Earth is. It's going into the fifth dimension.
Uh-huh.
And the whole Earth is moving, and those whose vibrations and frequencies are changing with it will also go with it. So that's what it's all uh-huh. about.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody who wants to go is going to go anyway. But
well,
I know Dee has some
question.
Good healing.
Is everybody going to go? Is this a matter of choice?
Yeah, if you understand what's going to happen, not
like
everybody will go because
you know?
Some of them don't want to go. The ones that
and
stay
so
with the old Earth are those
go,
who are so
go.
Much
how
into negativity that they really don't want to go. And they'll stay with what they've created. They'll stay with the negativity.
With this present surface Earth, what I would call the surface Earth, or three-dimension Earth.
Well, yeah, it's the Earth, and the whole Earth is moving.
Right.
But the old Earth is where the wars and the disasters and all of that will stay with the old Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be
Which
in the new Earth because the new Earth will be so full
point.
Of beauty and peace. And love, there won't be any more karma there. It's going to be a totally different thing. If you know the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. This is what it was talking about. But when St. John had the vision on the Isle of Patmos, he didn't realize it was going to be thousands of years before it came about. And he described it in the the language he had at that time. But this is what it is. It's an actual separation of the two. And it's happening to everybody, but there are some that won't be wanting to go. They won't understand what's happening. They'll stay with the old earth.
So that means we will totally be separated from everyone here, our loved ones and everything.
Well, not if they want to go.
It's an individual choice. We're going. I'm going.
Well, because you know about it. See, the ones that don't know about it, don't care about it, it won't make any difference to them. They said it won't really matter because eventually they'll all get there anyhow. It's just a matter of how long it will take. But I get that question all the time. What about my loved ones? And I said it's an individual choice. They have to each one make up their own mind. Are they going to go or not? Have you got my book?
What about our homes and things like that? Does that go with us or do we develop something different? Huh? Pardon?
You won't even notice any difference at all.
Oh, you won't.
Because a lot of people say, do I have to die to go to the new earth? No, when you go, you're going to go in your physical body. And it's not going to be all of a sudden that just bam, you know, the whole big event happens. It's happening now, and it's happening so gradually, you're not even aware of it. It's just that all of a sudden, one day, you might say, you know, things seem different. They seem better. They seem happier. And you'll begin to feel something has happened. But it's so gradual, you're not even going to notice the difference. So everything that you have now will go with you, yes.
Oh.
It's happening now. We're in the middle of it right now. Did you read my book that I just wrote about all of this?
No, I've only got that one book that you were talking about, The Convoluted Universe.
Yeah, I've got four books now in that series of the Convoluted Universe, but I also had another book that came out in June. It's all about the new earth. It's called The Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth. And it has
three
tons
waves
of information
of
in there
and
about
earth.
All everything you've been talking about. It'll explain it much clearer.
Okay, I'll have to get that.
Uh-huh. You can get it from
Very
our
good.
Website
I
or you can get
so
it from Amazon, either way.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you've answered a lot of my questions. You've cleared up a lot of things for me, and I knew I resonated with you and your message.
Well, you know,
there's
a lot happening right now that people don't understand and don't realize, and so it is kind of confusing for them right now.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay,
well,
hang
thank
in there.
You
it's
so
going to be fine. Don't be afraid of anything because that's what you draw
and
to.
And how
when
you're so
afraid.
Active, I don't know. I've become a couch potato almost all the time recently, but I don't know where you get all your energy from.
Yeah, because I mean, I was all over the world for the last 5 months, and I wrote the book while I was on the road giving classes and lectures and. So I'm so glad to be back here and for the holidays and relaxed. Don't have to get on a plane for a while.
Yeah, that's got to be very tiring, having to do all that travel, though, too. But you sound so energetic.
No, I don't get tired. The only thing I don't like is the 14-hour flights. Those are hard, but I always try to arrange it so they'll get there a couple of days ahead of time so I can get over jet lag before I have to go to work. But, you know, when it's your job, you just get used to doing it, though.
Yeah, I guess so.
In 2012, I've already got booked the whole year. I'll be traveling many, many more places and many more countries. They're all wanting me to come somewhere, so I have to stay on the road anyway.
Uh-huh.
And there'll be more books coming, too. Okay, but I hope I helped you with your question.
Well, I really appreciate the information I received from you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Dolores.
Okay. All right. Okay, so maybe now I'll be able to get to what I was trying to say, but it's okay because the calls are people wanting information, and usually on a show we usually don't have time to get to the questions. But one of the things why I wanted to play that other show, and we'll play it next week, it's making me very sad, is that a lot of the people in the metaphysical field that have been here for years and years, we all started out together. Because I've been doing this work, well, I've been doing the work for 45 years, but I've been very active in the lecture circuit and with all of these metaphysical people for at least 25 years, almost 30 years. But a lot of them are dying now and leaving the scene, and it's a little sad to me to see so many of them going that it's all at once. Everybody is. Oh, you know, we did lose Zacharias Sitchin. These are people who are pioneers in this field. Zacharias Sitchin died last year, and he's the one who brought up the idea of the 12th planet and the all the UFOs. He wrote many books because he was the only, he said, one of 200 people in the world who knew the Sumerian language and was able to translate the Sumerian tablets. And that was what he wrote his books on, and he became very popular, and he was a very popular speaker. And he died just this last year, in 2010. But this year, we lost Wendell Stevens. And see, some of these people, I've had the VBS play the interview I did with them, so as a memorial to them. We lost Wendell Stevens. And he had the largest UFO picture collection in the world. I think it was close to 5,000 photographs that he had of UFOs. And he was always collecting more and more. I did two shows with him, but I've known him since the beginning. So we all started out together back in the 90s, beginning of the 90s, the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s. My first books came out. We were all on the lecture circuit together, so we've known each other for a long time. And Wendell, the pictures were the main thing, but he was also a very strong UFO investigator. And I believe they said he sold his collection or he gave it to somebody. I don't really have the details of what happened to it. But I said I was sure hoping it wasn't going to be lost because it was the largest collection of pictures, photographs of UFOs in the world. So she said, it's not lost. He did give it to someone or sold it to somebody. I'll find out later about it. But one thing I found out with him when we did the talks with him, he was around. Oh, he was a colonel in the Army, and he found out a lot of things, a lot of secrets that he was not supposed to talk about. And he did get in a lot of trouble in those early days with the government trying to discredit him. But he hung in there, and he didn't let it stop him, and he still kept revealing secrets everywhere he went all over the world. And he was a very popular speaker, and he was an old friend, and he died this year. And then I just found out since I got back that Bud Hopkins died in August, and he was also an old friend. And if you out there that are listening, or readers in the UFO field, know him. Him and Wendell Stevens wrote some of the first books on UFOs. Whitley Strieber. Him and Bud Hopkins started out at the same time. Whitley Strieber wrote the book Communion, and Bud Hopkins' books were at the same time, too, on the first UFO investigations. I visited with Bud Hopkins several years ago at his house and his studio in New York City, and really, Bud Hopkins never intended to be a UFO investigator. He never intended to be a hypnotist. He was actually a sculptor. And in his house, in his studio, he had a lot of things he was working on. So I got to see all of that. That was his passion. He more or less got into the UFO field by accident, if anything is ever an accident. And he was never really comfortable with it. But he wrote several books about his investigations, and he was also a very popular speaker on the lecture circuit. So he will also be missed. Now, this one I was going to play the tape about is my really good friend, Lou Farish. I've known Lou Farish since my first began on any of this with UFOs. We go back into the 1980s. And Lou was really one of the ones that got me into the UFO field. But he's a kind, gentle, wonderful person who never really intended to get into this. But he had the UFO news clipping service for many years, and people subscribed to that. But he had the UFO conference in Eureka Springs. I think he called it the Ozark UFO Conference. He had that for 22 years. And I was with him on that, helping with it, since the very, very beginning of it, 22 years ago. And he built it from nothing, because I remember the first, we had a meeting, and he says, I'm going to do this. He said, I don't know if him and Ed Mazur were going to do it. And he wanted us to help. And he said, I don't know if I can or not, but we're going to have this conference. And he was always a very quiet person. After the first few years, it started out with 50 people at the conference, and it has now grown till they have at least 400 to 500 people every year. And when it started out, the first few years, and it began to grow, he said, I feel like I've got a tiger by the tail. I would much rather be sitting in the audience listening than up here trying to organize all of this. So he was that kind of a quiet, unassuming person. But he got me involved in the UFO field way back in the 1980s. If it hadn't been for him, I probably wouldn't have got into it. So I was doing the regular past life regressions, but I wasn't doing the UFO work. Anyway, since I come back, I found out that Lou was very ill. He's in a nursing home now in Morrilton, Arkansas, which is very close to his home, and they don't think he's got more than a few days left. He has cancer, and it has spread to the liver. And they said he's been getting emails from all over the world, and this one really good friend of his, Jerry Blackburn, has been taking the emails to the hospital and reading them to him. And I keep thinking, knowing Lou, he's probably want to hang in there until 2012. He wants to see 2012 come in anyway, and that's probably what's happening. But I feel very sad to have all of these giants, these pioneers in the metaphysical field and the UFO field, are suddenly leaving the planet. I guess they want to watch from the other side what's really going to happen out there and see this and hang in there. Watch it from the other side as an observer, probably what's happening. But next week, we couldn't find the tape, and I told them I sure hope it wasn't erased, the show I did with Lou. They said, no, it's there somewhere. They're going to find it, and we will play that next week as a memorial to Lou Farish, this great and wonderful person. We did play memorials to the other ones, to Harold McCoy and to Wendell Stevens. Harold McCoy also died. He is one, we could say the transition makes a better word, because you know we don't ever die. He was the one who was teaching how to do remote healing. You don't even have to be in the same room with the person. He founded the Ozark Research Institute and was teaching healing, and he became very, very well known in that field. Okay, but I guess it's coming up now to time for us to go off the air here. I appreciate everybody listening, because I wasn't sure if they would. We were late starting. Anyway, Happy New Year, everybody. We're going into 2012, and don't let anybody tell you it's the end of the world, because it's not. It's the end of the world as we know it, because what we're going into is so beautiful and wonderful. But it's not the disaster they're talking about. We're going into a wonderful new world and a new year here, 2012. It's going to be very, very exciting. So, Happy New Year. And I'll see you next year. Good night, everyone.